Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Homance Chronicles.
The female equivalent of a bromance.
So many poor choices.
But so many good takes.
But so many poor choices. This is the Homance Chronicles, and why am I singing it? I'm Sarah.
I'm Nicole. Welcome.
I get so excited every time. I'm like, ooh, I'm not going to fuck it up. And then I just, I don't know.
I mean, that doesn't classify as fucking it up. It's just you put a spin on it.
Every time. I don't know what my problem is.
There's no norm for the intro.
We don't do consistency around these parts. The only thing that's consistent is I'm always late.
Oh, you're not that late.
No, I've gotten way better recently too. Thanks, anxiety.
So I don't know if you can tell like in my voice or not, but I am dealing with major like sinus congestion, and it's been going on for
since
a while.
3 weeks ago. Yes.
Well, no, like over the weekend I was like for real sick.
So many people have been for real sick. I was working, sorry to cut you off, but one of the people I work with, he's got a child in high school. She said people were barfing in the hallways. Like it was full vomitorium mode. People were that sick.
Oh.
So I'm glad you're not.
I would say, I think norovirus made its way back around, and I had that before, and that causes like constant throw up.
Wash your fucking hands.
Norovirus is like extremely contagious. Like yes. It's like airborne, I think. Mm-hmm. For me, I think it was just a mixture of allergies, common cold, and doing too much. Mm-hmm. I think my body was just like, and now we're shutting down.
Yeah, I wish my body would have signaled that to me. No, we just kept pushing through. Here we are.
Well, I think because I had been pushing through for a month straight, it was like, okay, well, typically this wouldn't take you down, but because you have no energy or reserves, bitch, sit down.
Because your boundaries are lacking.
With myself. It's me doing it to me.
Who's this? Me. It is I.
Right. Moderation, don't know her, right?
What? Who's she? We don't need new friends.
So
oh, that was good. That was a funny.
Yeah. So I'm gonna try to make it through this story without too much sniffling and grossness.
Okay.
And the story is pretty funny in the regards to how it came about. Because I had to take Emma to the vet just to establish like new care since I moved and get her some regular preventative meds and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it sparked in me like, oh, maybe there's a famous veterinarian.
Oh.
You know, like a popular female veterinarian or something.
Yeah, somebody who really turned the tables, if you will.
Yeah, so I Googled and got a list of 9.
All right. Good start.
There, you know, it was like some random blog with like 9 of them. But the first one in the list showed a picture of a woman figure skating.
Okay.
So I was like, all right, here we go. We're on a journey.
Here we go. Oh, time is just a social construct. Let's go.
So we're going to talk about Suzanne Morrow Francis today.
Okay.
She's known as Susie, S-U-Z-I. So that's, we're going to call her Susie.
All right, Susie. Not the Q. And, not Susie Q.
Yeah. Can you hear Emma barking?
Nope.
Okay, good. So Susie was born on December 14th, 1930 in Toronto, Canada.
Canada.
Her family had Irish roots and attended United Church. That's about all the background I got. So, yeah,
sounds about right.
So obviously due to the fact that she was born in 1930 and, is not, I would call it typical famous, right? Mm-hmm. There just wasn't a lot of background, but there was this one blog that went into excruciating detail about her figure skating career.
Oh, okay. So we don't have a lot of love about her life before this time, but let me tell you about all the figure skating shit she did before she did this other stuff.
So I have pared it down to all the most important bits. But I also was like, hey, wait a second. Have we really covered anybody from Canada?
No.
I don't think so.
She's our first Canadian.
Yeah. And so then I was like, I wonder if you have to do like .ca to like get Canadian information. But I thought about that after.
Ah, damn it. Oh, well, next time.
But you know, like how in England, it's like .co.uk and stuff. And so I was like, maybe I should have searched .ca.
Yeah, maybe. Because I know, like, I just saw this thing where if you type in before 2023 and then a colon, then you get the internet free, all the advertisements, which is cool.
Hmm. Interesting.
It works. Huh. Brings up different search histories or searches. It's cool.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, we will just start Susie's life around 9 years old.
Okay, that's fair. She made it to 9, so victory.
So, because she passed away in the early 2000s, I was able to find her obituary, though.
Oh, cool.
And that's where it states that she was loved by her mother, Kristen Lynn Francis, and her mother's partner, Anita Cameron. So I'm guessing that her mother had a relationship with a man, aka Susie's father, earlier in her life. Like, that's how she had the kids. But due to the times and the whole, you know, they attended United Church thing, I'm assuming that she did not have a female partner until later in life. But I could be assuming wrong.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Susie has a brother and a sister, though.
Okay.
And so for 1930s time, unless they were adopting kids, I'm pretty sure she was married to or at least with a man.
Yeah.
So Susie took up figure skating at 9 years old as a recommendation from her doctor to strengthen an injured leg. So let's remember she's from Canada.
I was going to say that's a theme. Your legs don't work. Go use them more. Go on. We'll see you when you get back.
Get out there on the ice. Skate around. It'll help you out.
You might drown, but we'll know better if they work or not.
That was their physical therapy, is take up figure skating or hockey.
Sounds accurate.
So she really got into the figure skating, though. And 6 years later, she's around 15 years old. She made a big splash at the 1945 Canadian Championships. So she was paired up with Norris Bowden, and they won the junior pairs event and finished second in the waltz.
Get a girl.
Right?
Is that national?
For Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What a task. What a feat.
Yeah, yeah. So, meanwhile, her future skating partner, his name is Wallace Distelmeyer, but he goes by Wally. He was serving in the Royal Canadian Navy during World War II. So, Wally started figure skating around 10 years old, and has a similar track as Susie. He skated in junior pairs competition and won back in 1941. So that when he was skating initially was 4 years earlier, so they missed each other at that time. So Susie and Wally met when he was discharged from the Navy and made his return to figure skating competition at the 1946 Canadian Championships. So he finished second and third in the waltz and 14 step and won the junior men's event. She won the junior women's. So he had won pairs with a different partner and she finished second with a different partner. So they're winning stuff everywhere. However, something sparked them working together instead of being competitors. I'm not sure what. But they,
the visual appeal.
Maybe, I don't know. But they moved away from their current skating partners and decided to pair up instead, which ended up being a good choice. So that following year, 1947, at the Canadian Championships, they won the senior pairs title on their first try.
Dang. So it made sense. Something was pulling them together.
Yeah. I guess they were like, well, if we're taking home second, you know, we could take home first with each other. They traveled together to the 1947 North American Championships and also kicked ass there as well. So despite them being a new team, they impressed a bunch of people and were basically on track to go to the Olympics.
All right.
So they turned up the practicing into high gear, spent countless hours like training. They found these Australian coaches who were not afraid to take some chances. So in the 20s and 30s, there was a popular skating trick called a death spiral, which is still popular to this day.
Okay, so remember the movie Cutting Edge?
No.
A 90s staple? Come on, the Cutting Edge. I don't remember who was actually in it anymore, but it was about this dude who is a hockey player and he gets injured and the only way he can get back onto the ice is to be a figure skater. And they do this Shambanko, Rambanko, some bullshit fucking whatever death spiral move.
It's listed as the romance slash sport genre.
Yes, there's no comedy, maybe 2 seconds, but yes, it is 100%. But they do this, you know, they're an unlikely pair that fall for each other and then fall in love, whatever. And you say death spiral and all I can think of is that signature move from that movie where he grabs her by the skate blade and spins her ass around for fucking ever and then throws her and lets her catch herself on her feet.
That does sound alert. More death defying.
It's aggressive.
Yeah. The death spiral that I'm talking about is a spin involving two partners, and one partner, usually the guy, lowers the other partner, usually the girl, and the lowered partner gets really close to the ice and then arches backward and lifts up a leg, so they're only skating on one foot. So the partner is like, the guy is like holding the woman's hands.
Okay.
Or wrists, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Holding both wrists. And she's basically in a back bend with one leg up.
Sounds about right. Here, fuck your shit up doing this for me really quick.
So, typically it was done two-handed until Susie and Wally come along.
Oh, then they had to do it with the one-handed, y'all.
Yes. their Aussie coaches pushed Fuck them to up. Do the one-handed yeah. version.
This is the Cutting Edge all over.
So they were the first pair team to perform the death spiral one-handed with the man holding the woman in position with one hand at an international competition.
Yeah, bless. I'm so excited for them. Taking it to the limit.
So they made Canadian history by becoming the first pair team to win Olympic and world medals, bringing home the bronze. So they were also doing single skates as well. So in 1948, Wally claimed the Canadian senior men's title and Susie claimed the women's title from 1949 to 1951.
You know, just a couple of years.
So how did we get here when I was Googling veterinarians? Because Susie was a veterinarian.
You know, she hung up those skates and went ahead and helped animals naturally.
They had an interesting history because they tried to continue on as single skaters for a while. Wally felt weird because he thought that they actually deserved better than the bronze. He's quoting saying that we thought we would do well, but it was so political. We did more things than the first place team. It just hurt us greatly because everyone said we had won. So they had done some exhibitions, but Wally decided to retire from the competition and become a coach.
That seems like a more natural path.
Susie won 3 Canadian senior women's titles, the silver medal at the 1951 North America Championships, finished in the top 6 at 4 consecutive world championships, and the 1952 Winter Olympic Games.
Ballin'.
So,
smart and athletic. Shit.
Yeah. So she's out competing in these championships, going to the Olympics, and also studying. So she went to the Ontario Veterinary College at the University of Guelph.
I was going to ask, did she like start studying after her ice skating career? She was doing it during. Cool. That's impressive.
Mm-hmm. So, supposedly she always just like loved dogs and frequently had a dog by her side. Her favorite dog was a German Shepherd. But because of her skating career, other than the time that she went to college in Guelph for actual veterinarian school, like her longest time that she spent in school was maybe 2 months. Yeah.
I just gave her the look in the head. Drop,
yeah.
Like, for
because
real?
So she had like tutors.
I mean, yeah,
basically
that makes
was
sense,
like homeschooled.
This is insane. She went through all of that ice skating, just be like, I'm quit, become a veterinarian soon. Don't worry.
No. There's more.
Oh, God.
So she completes her doctorate in veterinary medicine.
Oh.
And for a bit of time, she shared a clinic with Dr. Edith Williams, who was the second Canadian woman to earn a degree as a veterinarian.
Oh.
And during that time, she also served as an all-breed dog show judge as part of the Canadian Kennel Club. Okay. Which required a special license.
Of course, naturally, as one does.
And she did not just judge dogs. She was also a world and Olympic judge of figure skating for over 50 years.
50. 50!
Yeah.
Holy shit, man.
Yeah. So, at the 1988 Winter Olympics in Calgary, Susie took the judge's oath, the first woman to do so at the Winter Olympics. So then in 1992, she was inducted into the Skate Canada Hall of Fame together with Wally.
Oh, she didn't get an individual being an individual.
Not in the Skate Canada Hall of Fame, I guess not.
Well, bitches.
So she was doing the dog judging, figure skater judging, and working at as a veterinarian until retirement in 1995.
The fuck? These bitches were built different back then. That's all I'm going to say.
So despite the fact that she never won a medal at the world championships as a single skater, she to this day is the only woman in post-war figure skating history to hold Canadian senior titles in singles, pairs, and ice dance.
I mean, that's incredible. And this is only just a portion of what she did for her life. That's cool.
I know. And so she passed away. They said in her obituary that she passed away peacefully.
I imagine so.
But she was only 75.
She accomplished a lot more than she did. Most people do in one lifetime. So
she did. Again, moderation, don't know her.
Who's she? It's cool. My body said it was time.
So she passed away on June 11th, 2006. So that's why I was able to find some information in the obituary and all that kind of stuff. So my sources today were easyanatomy.com, Wikipedia, Olympic.ca. I did it and I didn't realize. Nationalpost.remembering.ca, skateguardblog.com, and then Wikipedia again because I needed the separate link for the death spiral.
Now I'm over here fucking Googling the death spiral.
So she was the first skater to perform the modern day death spiral in an international competition. Which when you look at a picture of it, you're like, oh yeah, I've seen that before. It's not as scary as, or I guess it's not as scary looking as it sounds, though. Like what you were describing from the cutting edge sounds much scarier.
Actually, I think that this is, in fact, the same move. Okay, so the guy in the death spiral, who's the center point of the spin, right? He's spinning the lady. He's doing the momentum. The death spiral is... the lady's basically on her back on the ice. The Ramboshankle, or whatever the fuck it's called from the movie. Same thing. The guy is doing the same thing, but he's got her by the feet.
Oh.
And then instead of keeping her on the ice, it's you go up and down type move.
Mm-hmm.
As you start to gain momentum, and then it's like
tilt-a-whirl style.
Yes. And then she's like a shot put where you just let her go and hope
she lands. That's way scarier. The death spiral, I think, is just, you know, in a circle, like a spiral would explain, right?
Yes.
That's why I said I don't feel like it's as scary, but I guess you could get really dizzy. However, if somebody is holding onto somebody else's feet and they have ice skates on, how do you not like just cut open a wrist on that blade?
I don't know.
Like that scares me. Like you're holding onto the foot. Like I would be scared of the blade doing damage.
It's called the Pamchenko. Fuck it. I'm impressed I was able to remember that much.
I don't know how you did.
We had HBO and sometimes it was the only thing on. I don't know.
You know what's funny though is I was thinking about my Swiss cheese brain the other day and I was like, I can genuinely recall ridiculous things from childhood, but I think it was just because of the repetition.
Yeah.
Now as an adult, I don't like watch things over and over and over, right?
Well,
like
no,
as a kid, you do.
We had all, that's all we had.
But even kids now, like they could have they have tons of options and they'll just watch, you know, Baby Shark over and over, right? Or watch The Little Mermaid over and over and over. Like it's a repetition thing when you're a kid.
Yeah, that's fair. That's definitely
it's
fair.
Really
I don't
stuck
know.
In you.
I think it was definitely one of those movies. Like I watched it with my mom and when my dad was working nights. So I remember like a lot of this stuff from when my dad was working. I'm sorry, he was working afternoons. So these types of movies, like this one, Cutting Edge. There was another one where Sharon what's that? He where she boils the bunny. I can't remember the name of that movie.
I don't know if I know that one.
It's the other woman. He like cheats on his wife and then she becomes psychotic. Not the wife, the side piece. And she ends up.
Oh, is it the one with the ice pick?
Yeah.
The fuck Fatal Attraction.
Name? There it is. Thank you. I remember that one. Fucked me up.
Yeah, Fatal Attraction.
When I was a kid.
You watched that as a kid?
Yes. Well, not really. My mom was like, go in the other room. And I was like, all right. And then I would watch it through the French doors that had windows.
Yeah, I'm
in
like,
them.
That seems like an odd choice.
I can't blame her.
I mean, but my mom let me watch like Arsenio.
Yeah, so.
I know.
Look when at I how was... we've shaped up.
I do the Arsenio. Woo, woo, woo.
That's awesome.
Yeah, when I was little, around like 5-ish, my mom wasn't super concerned with school yet. She let me stay up late and kind of do whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, that was my grandma for sure. Grandma let me watch all the horror movies, like, you know, Halloween, Freddy Krueger. I got all that out of the way at her house. And for some reason, I was never scared when I was a little kid watching scary movies at my grandma's house. Watching them at my own house with my mom and dad there, fucking terrified. I don't know. The Gremlins ruined me. I still don't understand it.
Yeah, I saw scary movies at my brother's friend's house, which sounds weird, but we would go to his house and his mom would kind of like watch us sometimes in between like bus drop off and parent pickup, or if we'd have to get dropped off there in the morning to get the bus or whatever. And they would always have scary shit on TV, like Freddy Krueger and stuff. I would get nightmares. I still do. I will still get my nightmares from watching scary movies. My mom had us watch Poltergeist when I was like 12. And oh, the nightmares. Awful. My imagination when I'm unconscious has a real mind of its own, apparently. But when I'm awake, I'm fine.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So I don't really like scary movies much because they apparently stick in the real deep crevices. They don't fall out of the Swiss cheese holes like everything else does.
Honestly, the only time after I was terrified of the Gremlins, Swiss cheese brain, the horror movies stick to cheese, just so we're clear. What was I getting ready to say? Frick!
See? This is what happens.
Zombies. I can watch fucking anything now. I don't love gore. Like the gory, gory movies or like super realistic rape scenes really upset me. But otherwise, I'm pretty okay. I can watch anything and that doesn't affect me at all. But prior to this, in college, I realized that I was terrified of zombie movies. In real life, I'm okay. Soon as I would go to sleep after watching zombie movies, very, very, very realistic dreams where I was the victim in multiple different scenarios. And I realized hard and fast,
it's
like,
interesting, you have a very specific genre.
I know.
You.
You're telling me. Because, like, I never really didn't. Zombie movies didn't become a thing until we became older. I would say, like, high school, college is when zombies became, like, filthy and scary. And, you know, not just zombies as we knew them as children. And
yeah,
maybe that
well,
was
special effects,
it.
You know,
right.
They come a long way.
Yeah, maybe that was part of it. But I'll never forget, I was a grown woman, over 21 years old. My boyfriend at the time took me to a zombie movie, which he knew I wasn't interested in it. And I had my hand gripping his pants. So if you're sitting down, my hand was in his pant pocket, but my palm was up. So I was gripping his pants like this.
Wow.
Like upwards.
Yeah, yeah.
I hung on to it for the whole time, the whole movie. It was so sweaty. By the time I let go, he had sweat marks on his fucking pants from me hanging on to him. And I don't remember if it was that night or like a couple of nights afterwards, but I woke up because I had this just terrifying dream, fucking atrocious dream. I woke up in a panic, and like I've never had that happen to me before, where I woke up from a dream like, holy shit, I'm so scared. You know, that just never was a thing for me. The first time for this, first time for all the fun shit. And he goes, shh, it's okay. No, he didn't even say that. He goes, shh, just go to bed. And he like didn't get out of bed, didn't look at me. He just like he was turned away to me from me. His back was towards me, and I was on his right side. So I was on the right side of the bed. His arm came out from in front of him, and it like placated my face. He was like, shh, everything's gonna be okay, go back to sleep, or whatever he said, like, and he knew what he was doing. I was like, oh, you son of a bitch. So that's when I knew it was over for him. But the one and only time I've ever had overactive brain dreams like that freaked me out, zombie movies.
See, that's my interesting thing is that zombie stuff doesn't do that to me, but the more recent zombie stuff, like The Walking Dead, has like a whole story that goes along with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I could focus on the story. And I just don't think that zombies are, you know, close enough to being real. Whereas like a Freddy Krueger or a Jason or something, like somebody that's a killer, is more realistic.
See, maybe it's my science brain going, this could happen. You should be afraid. Let's prepare.
The other thing that doesn't make sense is that I watch a bunch of true crime where it is actual real people getting murdered, and I'm peacefully going to sleep, talking, like listening to somebody talk about how their whole family's been slain. And I'm like, nighty night.
Let me just cozy right up to this pillow. For real, man.
Like, it makes no sense. Our brains don't make sense.
I think because my curiosity is so hyper triggered with those real life stories, because I'm just so curious about humans and the choices they make.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's it. I don't know. It's just funny. I'll put on a little podcast or YouTube or something about a for real case. Sometimes they're still even open. Yeah. And I'm like,
nighty night.
Off I go.
Take me away to slumberland.
It makes no sense.
It's so fucking funny.
You watch a scary movie though, and you're like, oh my god, I'm just like staring at the ceiling, afraid to even go to sleep, and it's all fake. It's so stupid.
So
anyway,
y'all can relate, let us know.
Susie Morrow Francis was who this story was about today.
Thank you, Susie, for triggering my childhood memory of the cutting edge. And also being fucking incredible on top of all of that. As an Irish immigrant. She was born in Canada, right?
She was.
Love it.
She was born in Canada.
Canada.
Well, I was concerned because the story was short, but I'm glad we filled it in the content.
The universe will always provide, Nicole. There's always going to be something that triggers me to have this deeper thought process.
Really? Well, you know, no episode's truly complete unless we mention Arsenio Hall.
He is a common theme for some fucking reason.
Well, it's had a girl time.
Yeah, it is. Let's run it.
So let me tell you how, because I was not feeling well, very low energy, and my body was like, sit your ass down. I was like, okay, well then that means that I can only do things where I'm sitting.
We have a fucking problem.
No.
Because I sat down, I was like, ooh, I could be busy with my hands. Let me do, and I'm like, God, just fucking sit here. Just sit here.
No. Stop no, processing I just, I have things. So many things on the list. So anyway, on Friday, so I started feeling the sickness coming on Wednesday. Thursday, I woke up and I was like, ah, oh, shit, it's real.
Ah, fuck, fuck,
Canceled
fuck.
my plans on Thursday
Aww.
evening. Friday, could not stop sneezing, but already had things scheduled. I had a plumber come and I had a handyman guy come.
Well, you can only do so much.
And cancel my plans for Friday night because I can't be out at a speakeasy sneezing.
No.
Passing my germs around. So anyway.
Appreciate you for being a responsible individual.
I know.
Not being like, oh, I'll just put a mask on and go anyway. Proud of you.
No, because sneezing in masks is even worse.
God, it is, man. Fucking, it is.
So anyway. The first part of that, a girl, is that got some plumbing situations taken care of.
Gang, gang.
Second part of the atta girl is that I was like, okay, now for real. Now it's Saturday. Like, I don't have any plans. I could just sit here. I got my printer reconnected to the Wi-Fi and working again.
Congratulations.
Went through, it was quite the process.
Oh, it's a fucking ordeal anymore to use a goddamn printer at home. It's an ordeal.
Yeah.
Also, have you
noticed? I also feel like it's a huge money grab because the amount of paper that I went through trying to like check the ink, and then the ink said it was full, but it was expired, so it wasn't really working. Like, because I don't use the printer enough, so now my ink's dried out. I've got now 4 empty ink cartridges. None of them work. I'm calling the help desk to figure out what's going on with my printer. And they're just trying to upgrade me and like to get a new printer. And I'm like,
oh,
you gotta
God.
Be kidding me.
So,
irritating. So things that I could do from the couch was the theme.
Yeah.
And getting the printer situated. I was like, oh my fucking God. And
wait.
Then I had like 4 things I needed to print.
Hey, well, that's cool.
I know.
So curiously, did you happen to go with the HP? I think you have an HP, right?
I do have an HP. I have an HP, I don't know, 4150.
Let me tell you how I'm 40. Not fucking impressed with this company.
Me either.
I am not impressed in the slightest. I was on their little subscription plan getting
for the
10
HP
pages.
Instant Ink. I
yeah.
stopped it. It was dumb.
Well, okay. So it was like what, 99 cents a month? I printed so little that I had accrued months worth of pages to print. I never received any kind of ink cartridges in the mail because I ran out. Yet they were charging me the whole time. So I canceled. These motherfuckers, not only did it take me at least 35 minutes to cancel my subscription because I couldn't figure out where the fuck to go, they shut off your ink cartridges. Like,
they do. I know.
They have Big Brother access to your fucking printer and shut those bitches down. Doesn't matter if they're full or not. And I was like, oh, the audacity. And then you have the fucking nerve to ask for them back. No, dog, I'm cool. I paid you roughly $25 for the course of 2 years or something. I'm keeping these bitches. Even if they're not going to get used, I'll find somebody to hack them. Fuck
yeah,
you.
I canceled the HP Instant Ink because my printing ebbs and flows. It was like I would need to print 10 pages for a contract.
Yeah.
But then I wouldn't print anything. And
right.
Then they're sending me emails telling me that I need to step
update,
up my
upgrade.
Plan because
yeah.
I printed so many pages or whatever. And I'm like, but this is not regular. Like, anyway. So I canceled the HP Instant Ink as well because I found it completely useless, but didn't know that, yes, they were also going to Big Brother my ink situation.
Yeah.
I was
yep.
like, but I paid for the ink up front.
Right. So no, I'm
and then I paid a
bitches.
Subscription and you just turned it off. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, no. So I'm keeping these bitches. Even if I fucking throw them away, sticking it to the man.
Well, that's what I mean. I actually, so I had those ones that they had like turned off on me. I had other ones that I had replaced them with because of the turn off,
mm-hmm.
whatever. I was just like, oh my God. So, and I think I had 2 others that like I hadn't used yet, but they had expired. So everything was just coming out blue.
Yeah.
Like it was, I was like, printing is a scam.
So here's what I found. I found that printers use yellow ink to print serial numbers on every single document. Every page that comes out of your printer has a way to identify what printer it came from, which is crazy to me. So like for you to use just black ink, yet for some reason your yellow cartridges are dead, that's why. So there's that fun fact. And also considering the fact that there's only three giant companies that make printers. Brother, HP, and the other one. Whatever the fuck it is.
I don't know. Because HP is like dominating everything.
Yeah. Well, fuck them. They suck.
I know. You know what I actually did for a while? Because even when my printer was connected, because it was so random on if the printer was actually even going to work or not.
For real.
It's a 50-50 shot if the printer will work. Even when it's connected, has ink, and you're all signed up for the program. Like, it's still.
And why does the app need to be on your phone? Why does the app need to see your location? Like, what is happening here? What are you doing with my data? Just print me a fucking document, please.
I know. It's so crazy. At one point, I had to print the document through the HP Smart app and couldn't just send it to print from Word. Like, it wasn't working. I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
No, you have to save it. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. So for timely things or if there were a lot of pages, I would actually just send it to the library because you can send it remotely to the library and then go in and put my dollar in the machine because it's like 10 cents a page or something and print it out at the library.
Yeah. Yep. So invest in your local library, y'all. Don't give Big Brother your info, your money.
Well, in my situation, I was like, I got to go like find the library and, you know, become a member, figure out like if this library has that printing service or not. Cause you know, I moved. So I was like, I will probably still end up doing that. But it was like, I should probably also get my own printer set up since it's sitting here.
Yeah. Well, good on you. I'm proud of you because that is exhausting. Even when you're not sick, it's fucking exhausting.
It was just one of those things where I was moving slow enough and had enough patience, you know, because I was like, I'm not doing anything else today.
I'm mildly disabled. It's fine.
You know, I'm not like normally when I have to print something, it's in a hurry.
Yes. Naturally.
So normally you're like, I gotta get this printed, signed, and scanned back in or whatever. Mm-hmm. But because I didn't have like anything knocking on the door specifically. Nope. But I did. I realized, I'm like, oh my God, I have all these things I was supposed to print.
Let me just go ahead and do that.
Because you know, you can't change your business address with the government online. That would be silly.
Why would you be able to do such a thing? You have to use their postal service that you must pay for. Duh. When in fact, they could just hire somebody to create an easy online solution and modernize the fuck out of themselves. No, 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 no.
For the state of Michigan, I could change my business name online, but that would require me to know my three other login situations that I never use.
Right. There should be one system, but they're not.
And they also charge you. You have to give them $5 to change your address.
Cheaper than just sending it via post.
Well, no, even in the mail, you have to send them a check.
Oh my fucking God.
I did all that too this weekend.
Do my taxes not pay enough?
I know. So I got the printer working, which then sparked more things. I was like, oh, I need to change my business address. Oh, I have to print 700 forms to do so.
Oh, admin work. Let's run it. Yeah, you print 13 pages to sign the last one. Makes total sense. I'm glad we did this, guys.
Anyway, yeah. So the whole time I was like, I should be in the printer business. Like, this is wild. They're just stealing. It's a racket.
They are looting humans. They're just thieving directly from our pockets and checking up on all of our data, too. Because why the fuck do I need a smart app to print a piece of paper with three things on it? I don't. That's the answer. Give me a fucking cord that'll go to my computer like it used to. Also, what happened to that?
I know that is the biggest like
pain in my ass.
It is because if you lose your wireless connection.
Yes.
Oh my God. It
then
took
you
me
cannot print shit.
Four times to get it connected to the internet.
And that's the other thing. As soon as you drop that connection, malfunctions abound. You're never going to get back to stasis ever.
Don't get me started on having to update drivers.
Oh God. For days. We could go for days.
What's your attagirl?
Attagirl. So I was able to clear out enough space in our garage that's pending organization to have my mom drop off her pseudo new but broken fridge that mm-hmm. is going to become my very fancy garage fridge. So that was delivered. I'm thinking we're probably going to plug it in tonight. But I also want to fix the little crack in the thing and see if we can't fix that. But yeah, that's my attagirl. I got a fridge. Thanks, Mom. And hairline crack and science and physics.
Oh.
And the insurance company that gave her the money to find a replacement.
Yeah, lots of stars had to align. Mm-hmm. Well, great. Perfect.
Yeah, totally.
Your attagirl was much more succinct than mine.
Balance.
If you liked what you heard today, please rate, review, subscribe.
Tell your friends. And for those of you who are still listening, a big thank you.
Mm-hmm.
We're rounding our, well, we've passed our 6 year, right? 7 year now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's six, I think it was 6 years.
I don't remember. Either way, for those who have stuck with us, y'all are the real ones. We appreciate you.
I know. Isn't that crazy? I can't even imagine. Like, I've had to listen to myself for that long.
Right. I've learned so much in that time and space as well about myself.
Right.
And what my limits
We're
are.
Different people. You've evolved with us.
I'm like 6 or 7 different versions of me now. We've gained a lot of wisdom and lost a lot of baggage.
Yes.
Yes. When I started this podcast with you, I was ending a relationship with a heroin addict.
Fucked true. Up. True.
Now I look back at that version of me and be like, girl, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In all fairness, he was hiding it from me.
Well, sure. But yes, we've grown and evolved as well.
There was science.
The point, I think, is that if you would have came across him today, let's pretend you were single, you would have came across him today, you would not have dated him, I don't believe.
Oh, no, absolutely. Hands down. One of the.
Yeah.
None of them.
I am just going to tell people to follow us on social media and not get into my exes. You can request.
Our exes are equally shitty. Let's just be honest.
You can request a whole history by going to Instagram and DMing us or commenting. It's at homance_chronicles or sending us an email, homancepodcast@gmail.com.
Homance out. That's my exit music now.
Oh boy.